This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Park and I'm PK Park, and joining me today is Bahir Yusuf, and this is our At the Movies post-Oscar roundup. Bahir and I got all dressed up, we got all spiffy in our suits this morning so we could live tweet the Oscars.
Because that's what we do.
Yeah, because obviously we're here and not in Los Angeles on the red carpet.
There's always next year.
Yeah, one of these days.
One of these days.
We're talking to you, HBO Asia. We're talking to you.
I have my visa is still valid, by the way. Just putting it out there.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So, yeah. It was an interesting ceremony.
Yeah, a couple of big surprises.
Yeah, and I think that's the best thing about this year's Oscars. I mean, to start off, I guess all of the nominations were plenty diverse, plenty of people of color, plenty of women getting nominated. It's great that they're finally taking those steps. But also, that gave a lot of room for surprises. I mean, I was looking at those 9 movies that were nominated for Best Picture, and between the three of us, between you, myself, and Ian, we just couldn't pick one. I mean,
they were feel all like a standout. Well,
they were all really good.
Yeah. And I think that was what I was talking to a couple of people after the ceremony this morning, was that when they asked me who won, I said it was, you know, The Shape of Water by Guillermo del Toro. Everybody, you know, a few of them were like, oh yeah, that was expected. But then I was...
Was it really?
No, but that's the thing, yeah. So in a year with like Dunkirk, Darkest Hour,
Get Out, The Post,
Phantom Thread, The Post, 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, it was a very strong year for them to give it to Shape of Water. I'm wondering if it's like if there's an Academy Award mathematical thing where, you know, like... I think the way they count it is that it's sort of the way, I don't know how to explain it. You know, it's a ranking thing, but each rank has got a point. So even though you are ranked if you're picked second in enough selections, you may still get top because you get more points or something like that.
Right. So there's a little point system, right?
There's a
point
system.
How the balance works.
Yes, yes.
That's why they need PricewaterhouseCoopers.
That's why they need PwC.
That's why they need accountants, exactly.
Yeah.
But so here's the thing, which I'm so excited about. I mean, for a fantasy horror movie to win it,
yeah,
is fantastic.
Fantasy horror movie featuring monster human, you know,
intercourse.
Relations.
Exactly. We can say it, intercourse.
Intercourse.
but also, you know what was great about The Shape of Water winning? I mean, the Academy does this thing, right? The Academy does this thing where they try to add an air, this faux air of respectability to something, so much so that they don't consider Get Out and Shape of Water horror movies. You know what? They're fantasy horror flicks, man.
Yeah,
get used to
just,
it.
Just accept it and
they're
move on.
Beautifully made fantasy horror flicks.
Absolutely, yeah.
We're going to review Shape of Water because obviously it opens in Malaysia next week.
You should totally go watch it.
Absolutely. I've been assured by the distributors that whatever cuts were done, and there aren't very many, whatever cuts were done very, very tastefully. So that's really, really cool. And yes, I think this is the first ever fantasy horror movie that's ever won the Best Picture Oscar.
Huh,
and Guillermo del Toro is not shy about it as well. That's what makes it so cool.
Yeah.
He loves what he does. He loves his monsters. He loves telling stories about these monsters.
Yeah, and the way he does it, it isn't a monster flick. You know, Pan's Labyrinth isn't a monster
flick.
No,
it's not.
Yeah. Hellboy isn't a monster flick. But they are just movies featuring monsters.
And Hellboy, a comic book, superhero-style story, Pan's Labyrinth, which is deeply rooted in monsters and mythology, all of them, Shape of Water, are used to tell these stories about the real world. It's what he said in his speech, right?
Yeah.
And he says, for all of you filmmakers out there looking towards genre fiction to tell your stories, this is your foot in.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Great. I think it's great. I think taking away nothing from the other feature films, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Call Me By Your Name, Lady Bird, which I famously didn't enjoy, I think The Shape of Water really deserves it in just like a, it's a new film to have won.
Guillermo del Toro also took home the Oscar for Best Director, which was also somewhat unsurprising, I felt, because, I mean, that was our prediction as well. We thought there may be an upset. It might go towards Jordan Peele, but it was really funny. As soon as Jordan Peele got the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay, you and I just went, okay, that's it. I mean, they've given him his Oscar now. They're not going to give him director or film. Now it's up between Three Billboards and The Shape of Water.
Yeah. And it's fairly, I think in recent times, it's fairly unusual for the same director to get Best Picture and Best Director.
They used to do it a long time ago where they used to have those sweeping awards and, you know, Dances with Wolves would win everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And movies like that would just do a clean sweep. But then for many, many years, they kind of split it up. They would give it to one person for director and then another person for film, which often made very little sense, because if you wrote the best screenplay and you won the best director, surely you put together the best film, right? So logically, there are some
something
leaps,
didn't match up.
But you know what?
It's fine.
I put that aside. It's the Oscars. It's weird.
Yeah, they're a confusing bunch of people anyway.
Exactly. It's strange. That being said, I have to say, for me, the biggest disappointment at this year's Oscars was the monologue. And I don't know if I blame Jimmy Kimmel for it. I think he had a very difficult job, and I think he was probably, I don't know if he was instructed to be a lot more conservative. It was just kind of dull. There were no ha-ha jokes. He makes this one joke about the movie What Women Want and how Hollywood is so out of touch they cast Mel Gibson.
Yeah, but that was a movie from ages ago.
I'm like, that's 20 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, the joke is 20 years old. And also, you know, Mel Gibson's screwed up many, many times, but he's not even at the center of the Me Too controversy. Yeah. So nothing seemed to land in that sense.
Yeah, it just felt like, I mean, it felt like he was trying to make the best of a bad situation, I guess, in some ways. He was trying to be funny, but not trying to be too funny. You know,
he's not trying to offend anyone.
Trying not to offend, although he did took a few cheap shots at places, which were fine. He did another stunt again, I think, like he did last year. Was him last year as well, right?
So the stunt was kind of cute.
The stunt was cute.
So for those of you who missed it, basically across the street they had a preview screening of A Wrinkle in Time for a select group of audiences, and they decided to go take some of the big name Hollywood stars and surprise them in the cinema with snacks. It was all very cute, it was all very fun, because it was their way of saying thank you to the audiences who paid money to go and see these movies. And I think that for me was the most, even though it was all set up, it felt like the most genuine moment, because you had real people in the audience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Everyone else in that room is so fake.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So, nodding and smiling after they've lost,
yeah, yeah. I think, for that one, for me, there's that one bit of that whole stunt, which I thought was quite sweet, was when the screen that the audience was watching it on cut to the theater where the Oscars was being held. It was shot from the point of the stage, looking out at the audience filled with, you know, movie stars, directors, and all that, and they said thank you, and I thought that was nice. I thought it was a little, I thought the moment went long, even after Jimmy Kimmel made so many jokes about let's make this a short show.
It was still like over 4 hours.
It was over 4 hours long.
I found that Hollywood is in such a weird place right now that they don't know how to laugh or what to laugh at.
Yeah, everybody's being really careful.
Everyone's being really cautious, right? It's like, how hard do you laugh at the Weinstein joke?
Yeah.
Do you boo? Do you clap?
Yeah, there were quite a few moments where it just sort of left hanging in the air.
That being said, I thought Seth Meyers at the Golden Globes did a proper roasting of Me Too and Time's Up. I think there's so much material. It's a serious issue. But yet again, at a moment like this, you want to be able to roast those people who've kind of screwed up in such a big way.
Yeah.
And Seth Meyers did it tastefully as well.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Seth Meyers is that his jokes tend to not, they're not insulting jokes. They're roasting,
correct,
right? Sure, you may feel a little tinge of hurt, but then again, you did a lot worse things, so this is the least you could expect. But he doesn't insult you. He roasts you. Everybody laughs. Nobody really feels too bad about it, because invariably you're a jerk anyway. But I think the big difference is that, like with the Golden Globes, it's a little relaxed, a little looser.
Everyone's got alcohol on the table.
Yeah, there's tables for one.
Yes.
They're not sitting in an auditorium trying, you know, holding in their guts and stuff. Yeah, Golden Globes is always a lot more
relaxed, even though the awards don't mean anything.
They don't mean anything.
No, no. The expected winners also took home things like Best Adapted Screenplay. We knew James Ivory was going to get it. He's 88 years old. He's been nominated 4 times. He's never won before. He's the second part of the great Ismail Merchant, James Ivory team. Mm. So it was a no-brainer. He was going to get it. Frances McDormand probably gave the best speech of the evening. Yeah. She asked all the women who've been nominated to stand up. And, you know, she told people, you've all got projects. You know where to find us.
Yeah.
Come to those meetings. Cool. Yeah. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
There was an interesting statement by Gina Davis. They did a little montage of the Me Too heroes. Mm. And Gina Davis said, you know, when Thelma and Louise came out, everyone went, this is the time. Yeah. Hollywood's going to get blown open. Look at this great movie just featuring women, and nothing happened.
I
think she's right when she said, you know, now's the time. Now's the time that everything's going to change with Wonder Woman, with Black Panther. Mm. Both movies got lots of love.
Yeah.
It's the only time superhero movies get any kind of love.
That's true.
Yeah. But for the most part, I thought very subdued, but it was
guarded.
It was guarded. That's right. Thank you very much.
It was guarded, right? I think in some ways, it's a response to what happened last year with the
massive screw up.
The massive screw up, the Oscar so white situation. I think everybody's just really, really careful this time around.
Which is good. Everyone's kind of running scared. So hopefully they will come and work things out and, you know, get it right in the years to come.
I don't know. I mean, for me, the other thing, Roger Deakins finally winning one.
For me, that was really cool. He's been nominated 13. I think this was his 14th nomination.
I mean, what took you guys so long?
He is,
good God,
Hollywood's greatest cinematographer.
Although, now that he's won, he probably wishes he never wins again because he looks so uncomfortable giving his speech there.
He did not look
a comfortable man.
But Roger Deakins is one of those people, if you go and IMDb his work and you just look at the list of movies, you can find perfect, absolutely perfect shots in almost every one of them, and you realize what a great body of work he has. But all in all, long ceremony, as always, had its high points, but you're right, Bai, it was completely guarded this year. That being said, for the first time in many, many, many years, in Malaysian cinemas, you can catch a lot of these movies. So our cinemas and our distributors have done a great job bringing these movies in.
Yeah.
This week, The Post starts showing. Yes. Next week, The Shape of Water is showing. You know, you would have had a chance to watch Three Billboards. It's still in cinemas.
Lady Bird
is in cinemas. I think the only two that we're not going to get, we're definitely not going to get, is Call Me By Your Name, and for obvious reasons, because any movie with overt homosexual themes are not going to hit Malaysian cinemas.
It's not an overt sexual theme. It's two characters. They're two homosexual characters. There's no themes.
Yeah, no themes, right? That's one. And of course, Phantom Thread, which is a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, which is just, it's not going to sell, so no one's going to bring it in. There will be about 12 of us in the cinema watching that movie. I've seen it, and it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
It's insane, but we probably won't get a chance to watch that in Malaysian cinemas.
Be unfortunate.
So I do urge you to go check out the other movies, the other winners in cinemas. They're worth watching on the big screen. We also recently found out that they're rescreening TGV Cinema. It's rescreening Dunkirk, and that's a movie. If you've never seen it in cinema, go check it out because you're never going to get that chance again. That experience, that sound, that just everything.
I don't care how big your TV is at home.
It's not going to be the same. It's not big enough.
Yeah. And I mean, the last thing I'm going to say is that, look, for every cinema goer who's complained about distributors and cinema chains not bringing in good movies, it's because Malaysians don't go out and watch it. So we have the opportunity to catch seven of the 9 nominees or whatever. Go catch them all several times, bring friends, bring family, because they're all worth it.
Even if you've already downloaded them? Go watch them on the big screen.
I don't want to talk to you if you've downloaded it, but you should totally
go
watch it.
I think you owe it to cinema to go watch it.
And you got no more complaints after that.
Let us know what you thought of this year's Oscars. You can tweet me. I'm on @UmarPagan.
I'm @BahiWai.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.